Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we're continuing in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, and today's verse is text 13. Garbha Sankarsana Tambai Prabhu Sankarsanam Bhuvi Ramiti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochrayat Garbhasankarshanat. Because he will be taken from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. Tam him Rohini Nandana, the son of Rohini. By indeed, Prabhu, people will call Sankarsanam by the name Sankarsana, Bhuvi in the world, Rama iti, he will also be called Rama, Lokaramanat. Because of his special mercy in enabling people in general to become devotees. Balabhadram, he will also be called Balabhadra. Bala Uchrayat, because of extensive bodily strength. Translation. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarsan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula, and he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Sankarsan, Balarama, or sometimes Rama. In the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, people sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balarama. But although devotees of Lord Rama may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balarama is also known as Rama, Rameti. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Rama. Jayadev Goswami also speaks of three Ramas, Parshurama, Raghupati Rama, and Balarama. All of them are Ramas. The translation, the son of Rohini, can repeat, will also be celebrated as Sankarsan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. So I did a little research and found a few things here I'd also like to mention. Of course, here we're most fortunate to be in this temple, in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir. This is the first temple, of course. Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram as the main deities, the center deities here. If you see them, if you look very closely, it's taken me a long time, you'll see they're also the tallest, the largest. Their forms, their wrist, almost as big as my wrist, these deities. Radhashyama Sundar, they're a little bit shorter. But we come into this temple, when it's open, we have our main gate there. The first thing you see, of course, is the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. We know Balaram, he's the original spiritual master. Lord Nityananda Ram, spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, spiritual master there. I was thinking more and more, it's taken me many months to be here now, 8 months, many years, 30 years. Was here for the opening, 1975. I'm not sure the first time when I saw Srila Prabhupada in Samadhi here. But what is our fortune here to be living in this place? Panchagoda, you were quoting five. What are those? What are they mentioned in these five processes?
Good association, devotional.
First, association of devotees, these five principles, association of devotees, chanting, devotional service, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and finally, living here in Vrindavan. These are the principles that we aspire to. Of course, Prabhupada is so wonderful, he brought Vrindavan everywhere. One of the first communities he made, 1968, New Vrindavan. And he wanted so much that that place was made a replica of Vrindavan. Not just one temple. He wanted all seven main temples to be established there over the course of time. He literally wanted it to be New Vrindavan. Of course, now over the years, we have so many temples where one can go. Worship the deity as Vrindavan. But amongst all those places, Vrindavan is special. Prabhupada said, right, Vrindavan is his home. He made Vrindavan his home. As I mentioned before, whenever Prabhupada was experiencing some difficulty and he thought he might leave us, he came here to this place. And these rooms here in Vrindavan, we have so many wonderful devotees taking care, headed by Dharmatma Prabhu. So beautiful rooms. Every time I go in there, I'm amazed at how spotless everything is. And of course, we know Prabhupada left in those rooms. That day is coming up in 18th of November, just a few weeks. But after he left, Prabhupada, of course, stayed with us. He's right there in the samadhi. Everyone that comes into this temple, the first thing they do is they offer respects to Srila Prabhupada in his samadhi. And of course he sits there above his physical form in his beautiful murti, bigger than life. Because Srila Prabhupada, bigger than life, bigger than all we know. And then you come in, and again Srila Prabhupada, and then you take darshan of Lord Nityananda, spiritual master. Such a process Prabhupada has given us. Then you see Krishna Balaram. This Balaram, as it mentions here. Balabhadra, because of his physical strength. And this is Balaram, what I wanted to read if I can get back to it. was one devotee lady. She was Ekiani. Some of you will know she was married to one of our gurus years and years ago. She would write Prabhupada many interesting questions. So one of the questions she asked about, what color was Balaram? The answer Prabhupada gives is just so wonderful. He says in just a few sentences, two sentences, Prabhupada says, regarding the color of Balaramaji, he calls him Balaramaji, he said, he is colored like milk white with bluish tint and a rosy luster. This is one who has love for Krishna Balaram. He said, our idea of whiteness is of the milk foam. Just see the description in just a few words, how Prabhupada describes Lord Balaram. And I've been experiencing, doing service here. Maharaj was saying yesterday, the process is, we don't try to enjoy. Materially, you try to enjoy, what happens? You get the very opposite, you suffer. But our process, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, very much just the opposite. You do service. And the more service you do, the more you enjoy. Being with Srila Prabhupada, I was able to experience this many, many times. Being with Prabhupada is, as anyone can say, was the most wonderful thing. But serving Prabhupada was not always so easy. Prabhupada was also, he was our spiritual master. He had his duty. He could be very demanding, Srila Prabhupada. His secretaries, being secretary to Srila Prabhupada was one of the most vital services, because it was through the secretary that Prabhupada communicated with all of his disciples, and particularly all the managers, all the GBCs, all the temple presidents. And Prabhupada always responded in his letters. Some of his secretaries, they were also very powerful personalities. Prabhupada saw someone that was eager to do service in whatever capacity, he would engage them fully. But he said his secretaries, he said to be secretary was a very important position, because the secretary, just like we know the acharya and the cyclic succession, what is the qualification? Had to be devotee. One has to be transparent. It means they don't make up anything. They don't make up their own philosophy. They don't have their own ideas. They simply follow the previous authority. Prabhupada would say, when they asked him about what magic he had performed, he would say, if I've done any magic, it's that I perfectly followed the orders of my spiritual master. I didn't change anything. He was able to give everyone, every one of his disciples, what they needed to encourage them, to see that they would keep doing their service, keep helping him in his mission. When I was with Prabhupada, and even Satsut Maharaj, when he was starting writing the Lilamrita in 78, he would contact me sometimes. Because devotees would tell him these amazing stories about Srila Prabhupada. I've heard them, so many. I've been around devotees they've seen things. I was with Prabhupada for over 2 years, 2.5 years. I watched his footsteps. I saw his footsteps in the sand. I saw those shoes leave an impression in the sand. I saw them leave an impression in the street here as he walked Chittakara Road, it was called before. But there are devotees who will swear to you, confirmed by people that were next to him, that they saw Prabhupada walk and he didn't touch the ground. But I always saw him touching the ground. And I would feel so unfortunate. I think, why didn't I see that? I was with him for so long. I'm so fallen that I couldn't see that. I have God brothers, they would see, right here in Vrindavan it was, looking through the keyhole. And they said they could hardly even see Prabhupada. It was like a million suns. Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk. He shone like a million suns. And I think every time I walked in the room, I just saw Prabhupada sitting behind his desk asking me to do something, pay obeisances, get up, and there he was. I didn't see a million suns. Devotee saw him take a mardanga that was in the humidity, so humid. That was in Atlanta. And that was a very special time in Atlanta. He grabbed the mardanga to play to boom, boom. And then he just took it and he started hitting it on the side. And each time he hit it, it got higher and higher until where he wanted it. But I didn't get to see that. And I would think, all these devotees, they got to see something so special. They never forgot it the rest of their lives. And because of that, because of seeing these miracles, Prabhupada showed miracles, but he didn't show them to everyone. He showed me many miracles, simple miracles, how he always read my mind. He always knew when I was doing something wrong, always would tell me what I should be doing. I remember in 1973, it was Bhaktivedanta Manor. So now I had been with Prabhupada for just over a year. It was September 1973. And I was happily doing my service every day, cooking, massaging, answering the bell, and doing whatever came next. And one day I was massaging Prabhupada, and he was having a meeting with Dhananjaya. Those of you who know history of Vrindavan, you'll know Dhananjaya very, very well. Spent many years here in Vrindavan. Now he's back in England. Wonderful devotee, wonderful wife. Lifetime of serving Srila Prabhupada. So at that time, Dhananjaya was getting to go to Italy. First devotee to go to Italy, to go to Rome, to open up a temple. And I heard these conversations like this so many times. And Dhananjaya was talking to him, saying it would really help if he had a few devotees. Prabhupada was cooperating. Sometimes Prabhupada would just say, you don't need anyone, you just go. We know he sent so many devotees. You just go, you sit and chant, Krishna will provide you. He said, in a letter, he said back in the late 60s, is all it requires to open up a temple is one man, one devotee, that's all. Krishna will provide everything. But in this instance, Dhananjaya was saying, if I could have a few devotees, and I'm not thinking, I was usually off on my own, just massaging, putting as much pressure as I could. We say Prabhupada liked very, very strong massage. He's like Balabhadra. Prabhupada, he was Balabhadra. Huh? He was the guru. He was like Balaram. He had all the strength. Even though you might appear he was not very tall, thin legs, small arms, had a little belly, proper belly. But he could absorb whatever energy you could put into him. He told me, I say many times, he laughed as I was massaging him. He said, passive wrestling. He said, you do all the work, I get all the benefit. And he said, you can massage me as hard as you like. Imagine, I was 23 years old when he said that. I had some shoulders, I had some strength. Eating lots of prasadam, a lot of maha prasadam. And the day he said that, I pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. Kept pushing, waiting for him. Say, I'm going to make him say, that's hard enough. He sat there like I wasn't doing anything. Sat on that straw mat. I couldn't move the mat. What was he? 50, 60 kilos maximum. And I'm behind him separately. The mat's on a slippery floor. As much as I pushed, he just sat there like he was chanting japa, doing nothing. And I was pushing and sweating and pushing. He just let me know, you can't do anything. You can't defeat me. This was Prabhupada. So Dhananjaya is speaking to him. And he said, so I could use some men. And I'm massaging Prabhupada, not thinking anything. And Prabhupada goes, Shruta Kirti, you're Italian. Would you like to go? Of course, I wasn't Italian, just an Italian-American. But he knew I was Italian, somehow or other, Italian descent. And he asked me if I wanted to go. No, Prabhupada, I couldn't imagine. I had no ability to do anything. Preaching, opening temples was way beyond me. I was very happy doing my service. I didn't understand what Prabhupada already knew. 2 months later, Srita Kirti would be gone. You wouldn't be Prabhupada's servant. Well, for 8 months, and then again I joined him. But he saw it coming. And he wanted to see how to engage this person to keep him doing some service, doing some proper service. Otherwise, later when I was with him, never wanted me to leave. He knew if I left, I was useless. I wasn't doing anything. So he kept me around. But at that time, he said, you can go. At the thought of leaving him, I said, no, Prabhupada. But it was the end of December, just literally September, October. 3 months later, I was gone. Not by Prabhupada's desire. So it was like that to be with Srila Prabhupada. He knew, he always knew what to do. He had one of his secretaries. I was there, I saw 10 different secretaries. Prabhupada would change them. He would send them away. If they became independent, if they weren't so transparent, sometimes they would be thinking, oh, this person should be doing this, this temple president should be like this, this like this. So one day in his room, he's here, Guru Kripa, he was my GBC in Hawaii for some years back in the 70s. So he came to Prabhupada, he had a whole list of complaints. He said, I'm GBC in Hawaii, I'm GBC in Australia, I'm GBC in Japan. He said, I can't manage all these things. It's very expensive. He said, trying to get from one place is so much time. So next to him was Hari Kesh Maharaj, his secretary. And Prabhupada just went, he can go and be president in Hawaii. He had never heard such a thing. He was Prabhupada's secretary. He was beside himself. Prabhupada hadn't been happy. Previously, he had wanted to make an arrangement with Prabhupada. This also happened a few times. Prabhupada, you get all these letters. So many of these letters, they're very simple. I can answer them. We don't need to bother you with these things, this person asking this, this person. It was a fact. So many letters I could answer. Sometimes I was typing letters. Prabhupada always saw everything that was done. He said, I have to see everything that comes in. But his secretary wanted to make a different arrangement for Prabhupada's comfort. And so Prabhupada could concentrate. As he always said, I just want to do my translating work. He said that, but at the same time, there was no way Srila Prabhupada was going to let his society go on without his watchful eye everything that was going on. And even if you didn't tell him, he already knew anyway. And that's why he would call you on it, because he knew what was happening. I saw these are the miracles that I saw. Prabhupada knew. He didn't even need to have the letter come into him. He already knew what was going on. But he said, you're doing these letters, you're not even telling me. And then Harikesh started making excuses and saying, well, this is like this, this is like this. Then Guru Kripa went on again saying, Prabhupada has so much difficulty. And again, Prabhupada said, Harikesh can go. He was, when you're with Prabhupada, you don't want to leave, huh? On one hand, it could be so difficult. On the other hand, you can't stay away. You can't stay away from Prabhupada. You don't want to leave. Harikesh didn't want to leave. So, Prabhupada, what are you saying? And Prabhupada said, you're doing like this, you're doing like this. You go to Hawaii. And again, he offered excuses. Then Prabhupada yelled. He said, you don't defend yourself so strongly before your spiritual master. I learned that very quickly. I learned that. Never try to defend yourself with Prabhupada. Then he would take it to the next level. You could never, just like massaging him. I couldn't defeat him in massage. You couldn't defeat him in anything. As soon as you tried to defend yourself, he'd smash you more. So this is what he did. So then he said, I don't want to go to Hawaii. He said, Harikesh, so what about Germany, Eastern Germany? He said, it's so important. Prabhupada said, fine, go to Eastern Germany. He said, you go to Germany. He said, you go sit in the Schloss. He said, but everything is so dysfunctional there. The management is so bad. Everything is so difficult. Prabhupada said, fine, you don't go manage. You just go there, you sit and you chant. Just go to Germany, sit and chant. Because Prabhupada could understand this person isn't going to go to this place and sit there and do nothing. He's going to have to get involved. And he knew he would get involved. So then Harikesh left. He came back meditating on all these things going on. And you see, Prabhupada was serious. He was going to send them away. Came in and said, Prabhupada, he said, I quit. As his secretary. He said, Prabhupada, I quit. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, you can't quit. He said, I fired you. He said, but don't take it as a bad thing. He said, spiritual master understands how to engage us in service, how to properly manage. He said, this is our business. He said, it's not that there's something wrong. He said, you just need to be properly engaged. And that's what he did. He sent them away. Yesterday, Maharaj was talking about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. In that verse, how it seemed like it was a service. He was having this wonderful service and now going away. Radha Damodar party. But there was another side that was going on in America at that time as well. Radha Damodar party was very wonderful, distributing thousands, tens of thousands of books. But at the same time, every temple they would go to, they would tell the brahmacharis, come with us, get out of this temple. It's filled with a bunch of grahastas. What are you doing associating with these grahasta people? Huh? You shouldn't associate with them. They were taking the devotees out of the temples that were doing all the service. This was going on for some time. So Prabhupada had, like Krishna, Not that you do one thing at a time, many multiple things. Prabhupada could understand something had to happen. This is very important services that were going on in all these temples by these grahastha devotees. Huh? We know the history. And grahastha. Prabhupada was so proud of his grahastha devotees opening temples all over the world. He said what his godbrother sannyasis couldn't do, they were doing, his grahasthas. So many quotes are there. Now I wanted to read a few other things. It's getting close. Let me see if I can do this. This is about this verse. Prabhupada says, in this connection, this is as far as Balaram, we may mention an incident that took place between two of our sannyasis. Now again, he's talking about his ISKCON sannyasis. While we were preaching the Hare Krishna mantra in Hyderabad, one of them stated, Hari Rama refers to Sri Balaram. And the other protested, Hari Rama means Lord Ram. Ultimately, the controversy came to me. What a wonderful time. Every controversy, you would write Prabhupada. No matter how insignificant it may seem, Prabhupada would answer. He said, ultimately, and I gave the decision, why is this doing this? I gave the decision that if someone says that Rama and Hari Rama is Lord Ramachandra, and someone else says that Rama and Hari Rama is Sri Balaram, both are correct, because there's no difference between Sri Balaram and Lord Ram. However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra or vice versa. The neophyte devotees, they don't understand this conclusion, and consequently they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. Yes, I just wanted to read that. And Prabhupada also says the Lord is Advaita without differentiation. There's no difference between the forms of Krishna, Rama, Narayan, and Vishnu. All of them are one. Sometimes foolish people ask whether when we chant Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra, we refer to Lord Ramachandra or Lord Balaram. If a devotee says the name Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Ram refers to Lord Ramachandra. Actually, there's no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. It does not matter whether one refers to Balaram or to Lord Ramachandra when chanting Hari Ram, for there is no difference between them. Okay. So, any questions?
So what happened to Mahaprasanna?
There's a few different times. Of course, Prabhupada, understanding his incredible abilities, he sent him to China at that time. It was the same thing years before starting the Radha Damodar party. He was GBC here in India. And to be GBC in India was the most difficult thing to do. It was not something ordinary devotee could even do. As I said, I remember being with Prabhupada in 74 and 75, and different devotees, they would come to try to help resolve the Juhu fiasco that was going on, the Juhu property and the contracts and getting it. One GBC came from Europe. He was a grahastha. And I remember the day he arrived. Me, I had already been in India at this time a year. And To me, just coming to India was very frightening. As even as Prabhupada's servant, where I had all facility, I could get most anything I want. I lived in right with Prabhupada's. So my situation was decent. But still it was difficult. So Tamal was a GBC, but this other devotee, he came from Europe. And I remember the day, I could see it. It was one of those moments that are just etched in my mind. And he came and he had his white silk pressed very nicely. Just came, I'm sure he had his servants and things there and where he was. Nice fresh tilak, shaved head. And he came before Prabhupada in the flat, staying there in Juhu. Offered his dandavats and got up and said, Prabhupada, I'll take care of this. You don't have to worry anymore. And Prabhupada said, yes, okay. Every day you come, you give me report. And I remember each day he came, his clothes were darker. The white was gone. You know, like you see the different shades. Each day got a little more gray. And each day his face also got a little more gray. And that enthusiastic smile that was first there before his spiritual master going to take care of everything. He couldn't take care of anything. He couldn't even take care of his own health like everyone else. Everyone else that was there, we couldn't even be healthy. What to speak of accomplishing something? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was good. He had very broad shoulders. There was nothing he couldn't do, it seemed. And he had been here by that time for 3 years, GBC. And he wanted to go to America for set up the Radha Damodar party. That's when he wanted to go in those days. Maybe it was 74. And Prabhupada kept telling him no. And as much as he was very good at what he was doing here, he was tired of being in India. He was tired of everyone saying, yes, we know Krishna. He wanted to preach. And he felt as all we're doing is collecting money, making life members, give them a card, promise them 3 days in every temple around the world. Very attractive offer, 1,111 rupees, that was the deal. And you basically got a free hotel stay anywhere you went in the temple. For Indians, this was very, very attractive. So it wasn't difficult, but you couldn't preach to them. You couldn't speak philosophy. And he was seeing the boom that was going on in America. America was booming, 73, 74, book distribution everywhere, people joining like anything, say like hotcakes. People were coming to the temple. And finally, against Prabhupada's own wishes, he did it. That's what he did. He went to America. And he started the most successful party. But it was against Prabhupada's orders. And ultimately that, what do you say, came back and hit him. That defiance of Prabhupada's orders. Because that's all we have is Prabhupada's orders. That's our strength. That's our Balaram. You want strength. You have to follow the orders. You have to follow implicitly everything. Not pick and choose, oh, I'm going to do this and going to, you know, but this is too much for me. There's no potency there. The potency is following strictly. So Prabhupada had, as he would say, you chant your rounds, follow the principles, do anything you want. His wording was a little different when he said that day. He said, do any damn thing you want. Because it's voluntary. Just like our service here in the temple. Ultimately, nobody can force you. Management can try to push you and push you and push you. Of course, if you don't do certain things, it can push you right out the door. There's minimum requirements are there. But when it comes to surrender ourselves 24 hours a day, that's something has to happen voluntarily. But if you're fortunate enough, and what I see here in this temple, this Krishna Balaram temple, deities, oh, they have their personalities. But I see Lord Balaram, he's very wonderful. He can help you surrender. And gradually, he takes everything, if you're fortunate. He'll take everything, all your material desires, if you pray to him, you know, with his plow. You just grab him, pull him away. But you're left with everything. Krishna is everything. It's like Krishna, Balaram, Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, Radha Shyama Sundar, finally. Right? As you go through the progression, they offer their respects to Radha Shyama Sundar. So then he went to China and he opened up what was like the last, you know, the last place to open, China, most difficult place. And I've been to Hong Kong, where he went. I've been in the temple there, which Surab Prabhu, he made most beautiful temple there. So everything is going on there. So Prabhupada was never a punishment. It wasn't that he punished us. He just understood how to engage us perfectly, even against our own objections. But if we objected and didn't listen, we would definitely suffer the consequences. They would come automatically. And then, of course, we get another chance to follow. Always there. That's Vaishnava. And Prabhupada said, never stop forgiving. He said that to Tummal Krishna. Tummal said, how often are you going to allow this person to keep serving? He's taking money, misused money once, twice, thrice. Prabhupada said, we never stop forgiving. So that's our good fortune. Hare Krishna.
You were saying that Prabhupada had many secretaries.
Yes.
Everywhere, he had secretaries. So it reminds me that how when Krishna called Brahma, and Brahma said, asking that, he said, you see, there are so many Brahmas. They remind me this one.
Is that a question? Yes. Yes. Again, Prabhupada, he had them because he wanted to train them how to be like him. That was the main thing he did. When you were his secretary, he wanted you to understand how he did everything. He didn't take it that I'm Prabhupada, pure devotee, Shaktivesh avatar, and you're never going to be like me. He wanted you to be like him, to deal with people like him, to think like him, to be able to act like him, to become pure. Otherwise, what has he done? If he's unable to make a pure devotee, then it means he hasn't done anything. His greatness is being able to turn us into devotees. So that was one of the main things he wanted. But while doing that, like he told one secretary, I told you, he said, you don't move a pin from here to here on my desk without asking me. That's how much he wanted them to do what he wanted, not what they thought was important, what they thought this person writing the letter, they should be dealt with in this way, that way, according to our agendas, according to our material concept. Prabhupada had no agenda except to make this person Krishna consciousness and engage him as much as possible in devotional service. That was always his goal, was always to help us. So when he saw over and over again, right there, I told you 1974 in September, Prabhupada, as Maharaj mentioned the other day, 24-hour kirtan started then, before the opening of the temple, by Prabhupada's suggestion. He said, you chant in the temple 24-hour kirtans, huh? So then so many big sannyasi, GBCs were here. They all met. Prabhupada, we want to relieve you. See, this was always their idea. And I'm sure there was sincerity was there. We want to relieve you of all these management headaches. Because Prabhupada would always complain. How can I translate? He said, my head, I have this pain in my head, managing this, managing that. And he would empower them to do things. Unfortunately, we didn't always do things the way Prabhupada would do it. So they had a meeting and they came into Prabhupada's room and he's looking. And they said, Prabhupada, we have it all figured out amongst ourselves. We can manage everything. Another same thing. When the letters come in, we can deal with them. That was the worst thing you could say to Prabhupada, is that he doesn't get to see the letters. That was not a good thing. So they said, we'll take care of everything. You can just comfortably sit here, or Los Angeles, wherever you like, and translate. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, who are you to tell me when I'll stop managing? He said, who are you to tell your spiritual master what his service is going to be, whether I should manage or I should not manage? He said, I'm very capable of knowing what to do and when I should do it. Boom, that was it. 2-minute meeting. Prabhupada didn't have long meetings. They were very short meetings. And you see that bell rang? By the time the bell stops, meeting adjourned, finished. That was Prabhupada's method. Just do it. Don't have to discuss these things over and over. They wanted to discuss. Prabhupada would say, just do it. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mr. President.
Sometimes we're criticized as blindly following, and we're not using our own intelligence and abilities. Many times people from the outside see it that way, that you're just blindly following somebody's, you know, all their... Doesn't Prabhupada want us to use our intelligence and our ability and our creativity?
Yes. He says different things on that. Of course, he said all the investigation work is before surrendering to the spiritual master. At that point, whatever he says, you do. Like you say, what Lord Chaitanya? Just a fool. Well, a fool means you have no intelligence. You surrender to the spiritual master's will. That's what I saw over so many times. Prabhupada would tell someone to do something and they would raise objections because they were not blindly following. They were thinking, oh, I know better. So there's a point when you understand my spiritual master, he knows best. He knows best how to engage me. Otherwise, why would we surrender our life eternally to this person? Of course, we do use our intelligence. Prabhupada expected us to have intelligence by Bhagavatam class, by reading his books, by chanting, and then you should know what to do, not that we act foolishly. Those things also would go on. Sometimes things happened in temples and Prabhupada would chastise the elder devotees. Why did you let that happen? You know better. And they did know better. See, that's the blind part. But their managers can't say anything, you know. And that's what they did. They didn't say anything. But the people were not even following. So Prabhupada chastised them. But he said the younger ones, their following was okay because they were just neophyte. They didn't understand. So we're not, of course, some neophyte, but we've also been around a long time, 40, 50 years. We should have some understanding of how things go on. But Prabhupada laid out the perfect framework, and he never wanted it to change. Just like in the deity worship, Nanda Kumari was reading something he wrote the other day. He was Prabhupada's servant before me, 70, 71. So he'd come to India, he'd go shopping, and he'd see people worshiping the deities in different ways, you know, different little temples or home deities. And then he started to do something, put a little something on the altar that wasn't there. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, what they do, he said, that's fine. That's their business. He said, but what I'm training you, that's what we do. You know, we follow in that way. So we have to have enough intelligence to understand what we're supposed to do. Otherwise, what good is that intelligence? If our intelligence has us making everything up, well, this is what Prabhupada did, but you know, now we should do like this. Like we heard this morning, Prabhupada said, we're not musicians. That's not our goal, to sit down like we're some big, you know, specialized band. Everybody knows exactly everything. We're kirtan people, Prabhupada said. We're simple kirtan people. And the way to attract people is through purity, not through expert instrumentation. We have to become expert, pure hearts. You have to make our heart pure. That's how Prabhupada changed the world, by his purity. Otherwise, he was sitting under a tree with a bongo drum. You know, it wasn't exactly the simplest, you know, it was as simple as it could get. But people were hearing the Hare Krishna mantra from a pure devotee. So that's what we should use our intelligence, is to become pure, so we can give Krishna to others. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.